doing the whole 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Thursday, October 8th, Field Yates, Mike Clay back for more. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Good to be here. How are you?
Great. I'm doing well. Great to have you here as Week 5 action begins tonight. Of course,
yeah.
As always, we have Stefania Bell and Daniel Dopp holding down the producer chair today. And unfortunately, a recent theme that we can basically say, as always, we have a COVID update this
week. Yes.
And it's not good. The Tennessee Titans placed Corey Davis on the reserve COVID list Wednesday. It's now Thursday, and news broke this morning from Adam Schefter that the team is going to place yet another player on the reserve COVID list because they had yet another positive test this morning. Sunday's game against the Bills seems to be hanging by a thread at this point. A postponement, maybe an adjustment of the schedule seems possible. I will ask Stefania because I feel like it's sort of reflexive for me to pass it along to her for some questions about what this all means. Stefania, the facility is closed still. If they had a positive test from last night's round of results, how soon could the Titans even be back in the office for work?
It's not really clear, Field. There's not a plan for that. You know, originally the league had said they wanted to see a couple of consecutive days of no positive tests. And it appeared that we were on track for the facility to reopen Wednesday because they did have 2 days of no positive tests. But then right before the facility was about to open, we learned of these additional positive tests. Now, I can tell you that there has been a review that the league has been conducting, and members of the NFL and NFLPA traveled to Nashville to examine the facility, talk to folks, and the results of that review have not been shared, but you can appreciate that there will be some discipline, some fines potentially, and the NFL did come out with a new memo very explicitly stating that if they found protocols to be in violation, there would be, and this is for everyone in the league at this point, there would be significant penalties imposed, even up to the point of not only severe fines, but also potentially draft picks or game forfeiture. So the league trying to make it very clear that this is serious. And as you can see, we can see it here because the fallout is that games are interrupted. There's the potential for another interruption of a Tennessee game. And it has a trickle-down effect to everyone in the league, not just the Titans.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts here. Obviously, the Bills on the other side of that game. And one note on game forfeitures. If that took place, not only would the Titans relinquish their base salaries for the week, the Bills will be giving up their game checks as well. So there's a lot of motivation on both sides to play these games. Even if you could take a W, if the Bills could advance to 5-0, it comes at a cost, quite literally. It comes at the cost of players' base salaries. Mike Clay very sharply tweeted this yesterday, and we're at the point now. It's Thursday. You need to be making other plans for your lineup this weekend. We don't know what's going to happen, but you need to be making other plans. So if you haven't yet insulated your roster with someone behind Derrick Henry or behind, I guess, A.J. Brown or Jonnu Smith, yep, for example, or maybe even Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs, mm-hmm, at this point, you need to be doing that. However, if this game is played, Mike, for those that are looking for long shots, the Titans are going to be in a very compromised situation if this game is played, because if it's played, it would at least be logical to think that not all of the players that are currently on COVID-19 list would be available for them. And that list includes two wide receivers now on the active roster and at least one more on the practice squad. Who is left right now for Tennessee?
Yeah, not much. And I think the depth chart they put out yesterday, I think it was, it didn't include any of the players. So they're kind of preliminary depth chart for this game. So yeah, I would plan on being with none of these guys that are on that list. So yeah, let's work through their receivers really quick here. A.J. Brown is questionable. He's not on the COVID list, but he's questionable coming off the injury, of course.
Yep,
and even if he plays, Tre'Davious White-Shadow, which doesn't get much tougher than that. Corey Davis, Adam Humphries are 2 and 3 on the COVID list. Cameron Batson was running as their 4. COVID list.
He is a practice squad player, but still 4th.
Right. So, Khalif Raymond, Nick Westbrook, and then on the practice squad, they have Cody Hollister, and remember Chester Trey Rogers
is
on the practice squad. So, that's it. I mean, that's what they're working with at wide receiver. You'd expect a lot of Brown try to get the ball to Brown, obviously running the ball with Derrick Henry and, of course, Jonnu Smith. So that's what they would try to do, but some of these other guys are going to be involved. It's just not a good situation for that offense.
Let's make sure that we check the single game attempts record for a running back, because if this game is played this weekend, Derrick Henry might shatter it.
Darrington Evans, maybe get him involved there a little bit in the passing game.
Maybe Jonnu Smith takes advantage, because he would certainly be one of the best passing game options they have left. It's fine. It's a rite of passage that we discuss a 49ers injury update with you today. And I think the one that has the most fantasy relevance is Raheem Mostert, their very talented running back who has missed a couple of games in a row. Is he at least possibly going to play this Sunday?
I think that's where it stands, is possibly, but I don't really expect to see him. Kyle Shanahan said he didn't expect him, but, you know, there's always a chance. I mean, he's just returning to practice yesterday, coming off that sprained MCL that cost him a couple of games. So I don't know that I would be counting on Raheem Mostert this week. If the Niners know anything, it's that they need to get healthy for the long run. You saw them be more cautious with George Kittle. I expect they'll take the same approach with Raheem Mostert. And it just, you know, I know he's not the most important for fantasy purposes, but it does drive the team. Jimmy Garoppolo back at practice. He has a better chance to play.
Nobody knows the long run like Raheem Mostert. Am I right or am I right?
Hey, wow. Nailed it.
Did you practice that?
I did
not. Did you save that one up?
He had that one stored away.
I did.
He definitely had. Well done. Jimmy Garoppolo, that's good news for him. Jimmy G, and if he does not play on Sunday, Kyle Shanahan's already said, hey, I know who I'm going to start. I'm not telling you who it is yet, but it may not be Nick Mullins, who did struggle this past Sunday night. If no Raheem Mostert, Mike, we've seen it. It's been Jerick McKinnon. So that one should be a fairly simple plug and play for those that have been dealing with the Mostert injury the past couple of
No doubt. I have him RB27, even if Mostert plays in this game, just because you know how well he is played and how much volume goes to those running backs. Also, he played 63 of 81 snaps last week. That is not what we expected for a guy that missed two full seasons. I think on this show, we wondered, you know, will he be limited in some capacity just based on, you know, what we've seen for how he's been used in his career and what's happened in the past? But the answer was no. They were willing to make him their feature back. And honestly, I wonder how much he's going to eat into Mostert's workload going forward, because he's playing well.
Yeah, he certainly is. It's a great story.
Absolutely.
Great story for a guy that's missed a couple of years because of that knee injury that Mike just referenced. The Patriots, I should have given this in the COVID update, but some positive news and understanding, or good news, I should say. Weird word choice there. The Patriots have no new positive tests this morning, and that comes from last night's round of testing. Now, they're not out of the woods. They're not, you know, nothing is 100% certain with COVID for any team, but it was an important first step for the Patriots, who are practicing remotely again today. We'll see if they're back in the practice facility on Friday. And if they are, I think signs continue to point towards, as of right now, them playing the Broncos on Sunday at 4:25. Now, the Broncos are down to their third-string quarterback, and they may be down to their second-string tight end, Stefania, as Noah Fant, who left their last game, which is 1 week ago against the Jets with an ankle injury, feels iffy to me. What do you feel?
You know, I don't think it looks good for Noah Fant. He was in a walking boot originally. He was out of the boot yesterday, but definitely limping at the facility. I just think that this is going to be too soon for him to have a chance to get back.
Probably not going to play on Sunday. They actually have a reasonable amount of depth at tight end. And if I'm the Broncos, and I understand that, you know, it's only week five, but let's be honest, if you remember, you're not winning the division. It's not even close, right? Like, you're probably finishing fourth in this division. I would think Noah Fant is either your first, second, or third most valuable long-term piece of the puzzle on offense, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's either him, if Drew Locke is really good, it's Drew Locke, or Jerry Jeudy, right?
Yeah. You even have KJ Hamler was a day two pick. So sure. There's a lot of, but I'm with you. Yeah, you're right.
So I don't think you risk a player of this stature. I think, and the Broncos are a little bit different than some of the other teams that are 0-4 and desperate. Like, I think if you're Adam Gase, you know you're coaching for your life, right? Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, Romeo Crennel and the Titans, you had higher hopes this year. I think the Broncos, while they could have been like a sneaky competitive team, like pesky and win 7, 8, 9 mm-hmm. games, this wasn't going to be the year for them, right? So they're not going to take any unnecessary risks. Heck, the Jets last week, they Mekhi Becton, like that's the kind of risk that I'm talking about.
Right.
A team who's 0-3 might be willing
no
to
question.
Take versus a team that I think has more measured expectations for this season. All right, so those are all the injury updates here. And now it's time for our Thursday night football
Game review.
Well done by Daniel Dopp, of course.
Nailed it. That's called teamwork right there. Teamwork. You just said it. I knew what you were doing. I love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too, buddy. Teamwork makes a dream work, as my friend Damian Woody often says. And tonight, here's a little fun fact for you. Tom Brady and Nick Foles, they may have once played against each other. Maybe once. Maybe twice. Definitely once. They played in the Super Bowl a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Patriots-Eagles. And tonight, they will make history of sorts. This will be the first time that two quarterbacks that started against each other in a Super Bowl met again later in their careers while both starting for different teams. How about that? That, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, the Buccaneers are 5-point favorites. The over-under in this game is 44 points. We're going to get to, let's start with Tom Brady there. But you know what? I actually feel like it's unfair to start with Tom Brady because Tom Brady's value is tied to the pass catchers around him. So, we turn to Stefania, if that's okay. And we've got a bunch of injury updates, Stefania. We'll get to a running back in a second, but how about these pass catchers? Because
they're all banged up.
Yeah, they're all banged up. Everybody is.
I mean, all of them. Chris Godwin's already been ruled out, so at least for fantasy purposes, you knew that was coming, but it makes it easier for you in terms of setting your lineup. You've got Mike Evans at questionable. Now, he hasn't practiced all week, and if you watched him in the game, he injured his ankle, and he just did not look himself. I mean, the stat line may have looked okay, but he did not look like himself. I have a feeling he's going to play because they need him on the field. You know, obviously they lost O.J. Howard to an injury. Cameron Brait is expected to play. Scotty Miller also banged up with a hip and a groin issue, but he pressed through it and turned out a decent performance last weekend. And he is questionable as well, but he is expected to play.
I believe Justin Watson. Yes. Also out. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, also out.
Many, many pass catchers right now are out for the Buccaneers. So we'll double back to the wide receivers in a second, Mike, and get Stefania on a running back. But let's talk about Tom Brady for a second. Understanding that he's Tom Brady and he had five touchdown passes last week, are you comfortable starting Tom Brady tonight with a lot of pass catchers banged up and against a defense that I think we all still believe is pretty darn good?
Yeah, and let's talk about that because that's the key here, I think. So I have Brady QB 11 on my board. So 10-team leagues, I'm not feeling great. And that hurts because I draft a lot of Tom Brady. I have some decisions to make later on today when I'm setting my lineups. But that Bears defense, second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, only three touchdowns allowed so far in four games. Very, very impressive. They're allowing a 56% completion percentage, 6.5 yards per attempt. That's fourth lowest. And you might think, well, maybe they just had an easy schedule, right? That's important this time of the year to think about. A grand total of 47 fantasy points allowed. Think about that number. That's like,
wow.
Mahomes could do that in one game.
Right.
I think Lamar Jackson. They've allowed a total of 47 fantasy points to Matthew Stafford, Daniel Jones, Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers. I mean, we're not talking about Mahomes, Jackson, Watson, but I mean, that's a decent list, right?
It's also not, you know, right. Like Flacco and whatever, Drew Lock and
exactly. Like so that, way better than I expected from them this season. You know, Brady's QB 7 so far, a lot of volume, fifth most in attempts. You know, he has 11 passing touchdowns. He's been good, but in Chicago, this is a tough matchup for sure. By the way, you and I were talking about this and Daniel before the show. This is going to be one of the coldest games that Brady plays this year, right? He's at the Giants in a couple weeks. Later in the year, he has at Carolina. Everything else is like in December. It's all domes and home games. It's going to be so different for him and probably good if you have him in fantasy, you know, playing in warm conditions during the fantasy playoffs. It's going to be nice.
Although I don't have any memories of Tom Brady ever being successful in the cold either, you know?
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. I think Nick Foles beat him in a Super Bowl one time, actually. That's about all I remember.
It was indoors.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So.
But I'm just saying, I think Foles has the better resume, right, overall, as a quarterback in this? Like, I don't know. I don't know much about
the Pharaoh. Many would argue that. So I think Tom Brady is a very interesting decision to make. I don't want to make – you have a decision to make because there's not a perfect option to replace him. There are some names. And if you go to the rankings, you'll see players like Gardner Minshew, for example, as a favorable matchup against the Texans. If you don't believe the Texans defense is going to get much better. Daniel Jones in a good spot. Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though the 49ers are good defensively, Ryan Fitzpatrick just kind of figures the things out, right? 20-plus points in 3 of 4 fantasy games this season. I still think probably I would start Brady over all three of those.
I would start him over Nick Foles in all seriousness.
Yeah, I would think so.
We'll stick.
I would think so as well. All right, now we're going back to Stefania because there is a question about the running backs, and we'll get to the wide receivers in just a moment. But Stefania, we saw no Leonard Fournette last week. It felt like last week at this time the plan was for a one-game absence, But will it be a two-game absence for Leonard Fournette?
I think so. You know, I think Arian's words last week were that he has a chance. And I suppose he still has a chance because he's listed as doubtful. And they originally said he'd be a game-time decision. But he was going to try some running yesterday. Haven't heard whether that happened or how it went. But you can't feel great about it. It's an ankle injury in an athlete who's had a number of ankle injuries, and they have really impaired him when he's had them. Just hasn't been able to be productive. And we've also seen him leave games when he's come into games injured in the lower extremity. So I'd be concerned if he plays. I'm leaning towards thinking he will not.
Okay, so don't expect to see Leonard Fournette tonight. And along those lines, Ronald Jones be the next man up. So, Mike, you called it pretty much perfectly last week. You expected RB2 status for Ronald Jones, somewhere in that low end RB2. I think he was RB18 on the week, something like that. So
Nailed it.
Well done by you, Mike. This week, do you have a similar forecast for him?
I do. I have him 15th on my board. I think we should kind of look back to how they used their running backs in that game. I thought it was interesting, right? So Rojo played 47 snaps. Keyshawn Vaughn played 18 snaps, making his de facto debut offensively, right? So played a pretty big role. We saw him more and more late in that game. He actually caught the touchdown in the end zone. Only 9 combined snaps for LeSean McCoy and Kenyon Barner, who both will not play in this game as well. So it should be Rojo and it should be Keyshawn Vaughn. And it would not surprise me if Vaughn takes on more of the workload. I mean, he was a day 2 pick this year. He was on, I believe he was on the COVID list, right, in the preseason.
He was, yeah.
Missed a lot of time. And now he's starting to kind of play catch up. So had 3 carries, 3 targets in that game. It definitely a deep sleeper this week, a very sneaky option if you're in a super deep league. I don't feel comfortable starting him, but if you're really shaky at running back, that's an option. But, you know, kind of like you alluded to, 20 carries, 9 targets for Ronald Jones in that game, even with Vaughn playing more late in that one. So a lot of volume. I think he's an RB2. By the way, the Bears defense, I just talked about how good they've been against the pass, kind of mid-pack against running backs so far. Lions, Falcons, and Colts running backs all went for over 100 rushing yards and over 140 scrimmage yards. They've allowed 4 touchdowns to running backs. So it's not a situation where you're super afraid of the Bears' run defense.
Yeah, Eddie Goldman's loss has been felt this
no
year.
No question.
Of course, opted out for the 2020 season. I got to probably update my ranks a little bit because I had previously accounted for Leonard Fournette playing, which is why Ronald Jones, a little bit lower. I had him at 24. Five this week. Daniel is saying,
me too,
man. Mike Evans, though. So Stefania said she thinks there's a chance he plays. Tough guy. Obviously, he has not been ruled out yet. He has done this before, gutted through injuries. Is the equation as simple for you that if he plays, you are playing him tonight? Mike Evans?
Yeah, I think so. I do have some concerns with him, which I think we should roll through. I mean, but this is more long-term. I mean, without Chris Godwin and Justin Watson and O.J. Howard and Leonard Fournette, you know, they're going to have to put him to work. But look, he's right now outside the top 20 in targets, receptions, and yards. He's really been bailed out by 5 touchdowns in fantasy.
He has been, yeah.
I mean, that's real. If he wasn't scoring touchdowns, there would be panic. It'd be panic mode for Mike Evans for sure. A little under 7 targets per game. His air yard share is 21%. Both of them are career lows across the board. Average depth of target down from 15.0 last year to 9.4. So not getting enough vertical targets for sure. So I do have some concerns with him long term. But again, I just feel like you, as someone who projects and kind of distributes targets, I mean, where do you put him? You know, they have to go to somewhere with all
somebody.
Those guys out.
Yeah, totally.
You would think that he'll get an extra 2 or 3 in this game. So, you know, I'm worried about the overall passing game, but still he comes in at wide receiver 14. He's big. He's going to get he's still going to get goal line work. He's a touchdown scorer in this league. You start him if you have him.
I think this would be one of those nights that if I have Mike Evans on my roster, I'd pay close attention to the 90 minutes before the game, not just whether he's active or inactive, but we could get some clarity, whether it's from the sideline report, reporters from the game tonight, or any of our reporters that cover the team, Jenna Lane, or anybody that covers it on a national level who might have some information.
Right.
Hey, Mike Evans is playing tonight, might be on a pitch count. That could influence your decision, but I think generally speaking, you are going to be leaning into playing Mike Evans if he plays. And it's time now for IBM Smart Lineup Decisions. And Stefania mentioned earlier Scotty Miller, who's banged up, but seems to be good to go tonight. And Scotty Miller, Daniel, is available in 74% of leagues, but he was started last week in just 6% of leagues, and you got 16.8 points out of Scotty Miller.
Yeah.
Scooter seems to be a thing now in Tampa Bay.
Kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
It kind of does feel that way.
Do you feel like if there is not a Mike Evans tonight, or even if there is a Mike Evans, that he's still somebody you think is going to see enough passing game volume to set in your lineup here in week 5?
if Mike Evans plays, he'll be the number two. If he plays, I think he has a chance to be the number one option. But I would say in a deep league, 12 teams are larger, especially if you have at least three wide receivers playing, that, yeah, I would consider Scotty Miller tonight. There's a rapport there. And, you know, I think before the season, a lot of people just assumed that Scotty Miller was a slot receiver for the Buccaneers. He's not. First of all, he's not built like a typical diminutive wide receiver who plays in the slot. Second of all, like, and Mike's much better at the average depth of target than I am. But, like, the dude's seeing vertical throws consistently mm-hmm. in this offense. I'm in on Scotty Miller for some big play potential tonight.
Yeah, and at wide receiver 39 on my board, so I'm with you. He's a flex option. His receiving lines the past 2 weeks, five catches, 83 yards. That's pretty consistent.
He's consistent. Wow. It feels consistent.
Also, I have one touchdown mix in, but anyway, wide receiver 32 on the season, so he's been performing at that flex level.
Mike, what's he done the last 2 weeks as far as targets? Do you know? I mean, what?
Last week, he had seven targets.
Like that, yeah. Seven targets.
That was a season high. Yeah. So I think it was six the week before or five the week before.
So you're getting enough volume there in the passing game that it's not just like five catches on five targets and he's, you know.
And it's not like Jamison Crowder short area targets. Right. He is the seventh highest average depth of target in the NFL, to your point. Yep. So he's getting vertically. It's kind of funny. Like, even the first week or two when people are starting to learn who he is, everyone just thought he was kind of a slot guy underneath that guy. And that's not how he's been used in the NFL at all. He's a perimeter vertical guy, despite that he's a little undersized. I do want to point this out, too. The Bears defense, fourth fewest fantasy points to wide receiver. So you're going to see that and think, you know, pretty tough matchup. And they are good defense, don't get me wrong. But keep this in mind. Zero touchdowns allowed to wide receivers. NFL low 53% completion percentage. Very good, very good. But their schedule, though, has been pretty light as wide receivers go. They faced the Lions without Kenny Galladay. They faced the Giants, who I don't think they had Sterling Shepard for all of that game. Julio Jones lists Falcons and the Colts, who are missing two of their top three guys, too. So they haven't faced a ton of major competition at that position. I think that's worth adjusting for a little bit.
Interesting. All right. Rob Gronkowski might step into a more prominent role tonight with no O.J. Howard. I got to see it to believe it, Gronk. He has been okay at moments this season, but to me, he looks a lot like the guy that struggled through the 2018 season, mm-hmm. lumbered through it. Does not feel like the guy that supposedly looked like he did 6 or 7 years ago during training camp. So we'll see on Gronk. Talking about the Bears in just 1 second, but when it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles like lots of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job amongst those applicants, or finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job in ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Wake up with Wendy's breakfast, why don't you? If you haven't tried it yet, Wendy's breakfast menu is definitely something you don't want to sleep on. Pick from fan faves like our breakfast baconator, honey butter chicken biscuit, and frosty chino. Or you know what? Mix and match to make your own breakfast dream team, all right? How about that for a morning win? Wendy's breakfast. Spread the word at Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Does anybody want to explain to me why I'm so hungry right now?
I'll tell you exactly why. I did not have Wendy's breakfast this morning, and that's doing it for
me. That's why I'm hungry. All right,
we're going after this.
Yep.
We could just skip the DFS pod later.
Stop it, Mike Clay. Fine. Then you're not cashing your check this week, all right? Don't be a butthole.
What, just because I won Wendy's? Did you just call me a butthole?
Is that made for this podcast?
On national television? This is a Disney production.
Yes.
You watch your mouth, sir.
Wow.
This is a national streaming digital show, Daniel. How dare you?
This isn't even Y7. This is G.
Y7.
I know all the kids' ratings now.
Right. Being a dad.
I have to watch what Casey watches. No Y7. You're not 7, you know?
You're not 7 yet.
All right, for the Bears, we start with David Montgomery, their running back, who has been volume dependent so far in his career. We had a very frustrating conversation about David Johnson earlier on this season, earlier on this week, I should say.
David Montgomery or David Johnson or
did
both?
I say David Johnson?
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say they might both be appropriate. Whatever
same conversation.
Analysis was, yeah, just double apply it. But David Montgomery, Mike, it's going to be hard for him to crack our top 20. Just the volume is great. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Spectacular. The efficiency stinks. And the Bucs run defense, Bucs defense in general, is good.
Yeah, no question about it. RB22 on my board. Without Tariq Cohen last week in week four, I was very curious to see how they would utilize him. Would he just be a complete every down player? And the answer was pretty much yes. 85% of the snaps he played in that game. Only had 10 carries for 27 yards against what is we know is a very good Colts defense. But he did have a career-high 6 targets. He had 3 catches for 30 yards. Doesn't jump off at you, but the 6 targets is big for me. And I'll tell you why. I mentioned they played a really good Colts run defense. Well, like you said, same situation this week, right? Buccaneers, top 5 in targets, receptions, and receiving yards allowed to running backs. So they've given up quite a bit in the passing game, but they've only given up 182 rushing yards. It's third fewest, and 2.4 yards per carry. That is second best in the league. By the way, not a fluke. They allowed 3 yards per carry last season. That was best in the NFL. They've played the Saints, Panthers, Broncos, and Chargers. So nothing to sneeze at there. I mean, that's pretty decent competition. So, again, I expect kind of what we saw last week. Not good, a decent rushing volume, but not good efficiency at all. Probably not a rushing touchdown. But, again, him getting more work in the passing game makes me feel better about him. I might not want to start him if Tariq Cohen was still there. But the fact that he may see 5, 6, 7 targets makes me feel like he's a borderline RB2.
I hope soon enough Lamar Miller gets promoted from the practice squad to get some run. I don't know, interesting player. I know he's not the player he was earlier in his career, and certainly pre-ACL tear, but he is on their practice squad. Would be an interesting name to call up for a little bit of backfield depth. All right, Allen Robinson, great player. Consensus top 11 wide receiver for all of us this week. The Buccaneers certainly are a stingy secondary, Mike. Any concerns there about the wide receiver cornerback matchup, or just crank it up with Allen Robinson?
I mean, you're going to use him, but he is facing Carlton Davis. So if there's going to be a dud on Robinson's season, on his game log, I should say, this might be the one.
Interesting.
Davis has shadowed Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen so far. Also had 12 or more coverage snaps against Tim Patrick, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, KJ Hamler. So some decent competition. And I mention that because 95 routes he faced against that group, 19 targets, 11 catches, 118 yards, 1 touchdown. Allen Robinson lines up on the outside about 2/3 of the time. So he's going to be on him quite a bit in this game. These two will face up, but he does escape to the slot a bit. Davis isn't going to go to the slot, so he'll get free of him occasionally and get some volume. So I think he'll be okay.
Anybody have a second Bears wide receiver they want to offer up? Maybe for the Daily folks. Anybody got someone in mind?
Definitely. And Daily? No. I mean, a punt?
Oh, sure. In Daily as a punt, yes. But not as somebody that you're like, I'm expecting good production out of this player in week 5.
Anthony Miller, maybe? Is that who you're thinking?
Darnell Mooney. 9 targets last week.
Yep.
9 targets.
I believe he comes in the game questionable. So let's see if he plays.
Well, yeah, if he plays. Of course.
If he plays. Day 3 pick. Good name. I know. Yeah. He can run.
And he's just blown by Anthony Miller. And Ted Ginn was a healthy scratch a couple weeks ago. He's just taking that two job. They like him a lot.
Really bizarre. I mean, Anthony Miller was a good player his rookie season. He had 7 receiving touchdowns as a rookie. Good for Darnell Mooney, though. The guy can fly, as I just mentioned. All right, Jimmy Graham, last player to mention from the Bears. Just monitor it. I know it's like, who wants to have Jimmy Graham as their starting tight end after a couple of downtrodden years in Green Bay? But he's been pretty effective so far for the Bears offense. He's been good in the red zone, as he always is. He's still 6'8", still a good enough athlete to outleap defenders. So if you have been looking for some consistency or some steadying presence at tight end in your roster, he's still available in a decent amount of leagues. So Jimmy Graham might be considered a last-minute addition to your roster. Also keep in mind, as we mentioned, if you have someone like Jonnu Smith, you're able to get an early jump on replacing him this week, as we don't know whether the Titans game against the Bills will be played. Mike, you are our official person who makes decisions on who will win or lose these games. Who are you picking to win this game?
I'm going, despite the tough matchup here for Tom Brady, I think he wins this one, 25-19.
Okay, that's the most random score ever. I will go with the Buccaneers as well, because I have a rule in life. There are several of them, but one of them is don't pick against Tom Brady. Daniel, who do you got?
I'm going to take the Bucs.
Okay.
That's it. Rojo is going to run all over him.
Rojo runs all over him. Stefania, yeah. You're going to go against the grain here, or are you going to make it 4-for-4 with the Bears?
No, I'm sitting here thinking about whether I want to pull Allen Robinson. I can't speak. who Mike just talked about, whether I want to pull him out of my lineup. I have him. I have so many shares of him. It's very upsetting. This is what I'm focused on. And I did pick up Jimmy Graham because I had to replace him in a league where I have Hockenson on bye, and I'm not trusting Jonnu Smith because I don't know the status of that game. So good advice from Field. And I'm taking the Bucks.
Wow. First time for everything. Thanks, Stefania.
Yeah.
Time to get into our wide receiver cornerback matchups. Mike Clay writes the column every week. It's available on ESPN+. And the wide receiver quarterback matchups are brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast. A breakfast so good, you will want to tell someone about it. Like I did the other day when I told Daniel, hey, man, I'm going to Wendy's. You want something?
Yes.
And then he said yes.
Honey butter chicken biscuit.
We had a delicious feast before the show. We begin Sunday Night Football. Mike Tyler Lockett, who felt like he was in a great spot last week, didn't he? Tyler Lockett was in a great spot for the Seahawks against the Dolphins, and yet it took a while before he even got his first catch of the game. I was starting to lose a little bit of sleep there. Granted, I was tired from a long Sunday already, but Tyler Lockett plays Sunday night against the Vikings, and we have been picking, well, Mike has been picking on the Vikings all season, and it continues today.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not? I mean, there's some of these defenses.
You're nice and you have a soul
after,
and a heart.
Yeah. That's not the business. I'm not in the soul and heart business here. I'm in the objective analysis business.
I'm not in the soul and heart business.
That's Daniel's department. I don't do that.
Daniel's a lover.
I'm married to the stats. Just ask Twitter. So anyway, so Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf against Cameron Dantzler, Jeff Gladney, pair of rookies there, Holton Hill and Mike Hughes. So here are your numbers. Vikings, fourth most fantasy points to receivers this season, sixth most to players who line up on the outside the perimeter. Fifth or worse in yards, touchdowns, end zone targets, yards per reception, yards per targets allowed to receiver. You get the gist, right?
Yeah,
they can't stop wide receivers this season. Metcalf and will be on the outside against Dantzler and Hill. Lockett will be in the slot against Mike Hughes if he's back, or if not, the rookie Jeff Gladney. So just a long way of saying it's a struggling pass defense. These are two of the best in the business. We know that. They're set up well. And I think I wouldn't be worried about Tyler Lockett. He had that big drop that would have been another 40 yards or so in that game. Had a random dud, and you know it seems
He's been prone to that.
Teams
in his career.
Teams in general have been prone to going into Miami and just not showing up. We saw that with the Patriots all them years. Even though when they were going through their dynasty,
in
they would
a pre-COVID world, I kind of got it right. Like you spend the night in South Beach and you're allowed to go out and have some fun. It's like, you know, playing the Knicks on Sunday at noon. It's like the biggest trap game in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to go to New York City and be out until 4 and wake up at 8:30 for a noon game. Like, yeah, I'm going to struggle from the 3-point line.
Yeah,
it's science.
I guess so. But in this case, it's still you're traveling on a plane from Seattle to Miami. It's about as far as you can go, and you have to imagine that wears at least a little bit. And we saw it, right? They weren't as dominant as they had been weeks 1 through 3.
Also, the other side of this game, you have to feel really good about Adam Thielen. So would you say, just curious, would everybody agree that the Cowboys secondary has been atrocious so far this season?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay,
so I've seen some footage,
I went and looked up because I was trying to build the case for Daniel Jones in our weekly Insider Roundtable as he would be a fringe fantasy player that you should start this week.
I was going to do that, and I saw yours, and I had to change mine. So
sorry.
You beat me to it. You're too fast.
Quick on the keyboard, just not quick in life. And I was like, oh, the Cowboys, they've allowed 258 passing yards per game. That's pretty bad. The Seahawks are allowing 401. Mm-hmm. So if you think the Cowboys are bad so far defensively, the Seahawks have been nearly 150 yards per game worse than the Cowboys. So Adam Thielen, crank it up. One more here, though, Mike, and this ties back to me in a second. I'll explain. But Darius Slayton plays the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that matchup.
Yeah, and you kind of just mentioned it. Talking about Daniel Jones, this applies to his pass catchers, of course. So Darius Slayton facing Trevon Diggs and Darrell Worley. Diggs has allowed the third most fantasy points in coverage among corners this season. And Darrell Worley, as we talked about last week, was the third safety for this team a few weeks ago. But because of injuries, he'll have to play. Now, this could change a little bit because they designated some players to return off IR. So we might see like Anthony Brown in the slot. So a couple players could be back for Dallas. But again, they were struggling even early in the season. The Giants have zero passing touchdowns since week one, which makes you a little nervous here about Darius Slayton. But again, the Cowboys, third most fantasy points allowed to receivers, second most to the perimeter. That's where Slayton is 87% of the time. And look, he's a boom bust player, but we've seen the boom in big ways for him, and this might be the one for the week for him.
My war room team is the Jets right now. I mean, just dilapidated by injuries and just bad luck, and we just think.
Poor coaching.
No doubt. No doubt. Listen, I am not.
By a half a second.
I will not shy away from that. Our war room team also acquired Darius Slayton this week. So Mike makes a compelling case to start him. I'm giving the compelling case to sit him because I am playing him this week. And if the first 4 weeks...
Wait. I thought Matthew was off today.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's true. You did give him a hard time for that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's,
That's Matthew's lane field. You really don't want to go there.
God, what am I turning into?
I know, right?
Matthew emulation? That's a problem.
That's a condition far worse than
Jetsitis. Can I have the rest of the show off?
No.
Please?
No, you really are Matthew Barry. You really are Matthew Barry asking for the show off in the middle of the show.
Let's get to the wide receiver cornerback matchup downgrades. Mike, Terry McLaurin has a new quarterback this week. It is, of course, Kyle Allen. He also has a very difficult matchup, Jalen Ramsey, but yet he still cracks your top 15. You're not concerned, huh? Or are you?
Well, here's the thing. Jalen Ramsey, believe it or not, which keep in mind during his time with Jacksonville and even late last season, just known as a pretty prominent shadow corner, right? He would travel around with number ones. He is not shadowed this season. Now, they have made some adjustments to how he's utilized a little bit. They made sure he was on the perimeter to face either Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup in week one. He prioritized Stephon Diggs a few times in that game against Buffalo. And last week, you may have caught some footage of this. They put him in the slot, which they almost never do. He's basically full-time slot, Golden Tate, of course, and you saw that kind of materialized after the game as well. But anyway, we won't get into that kind of thing. But anyway, the Rams have been good overall against receivers, sixth fewest fantasy points allowed. McLaurin primarily lines up on the outside, so he will see Ramsey in this game quite a bit, but I don't think it's going to be an every play sort of thing. It's just not how the Rams have operated through 4 weeks. They like to just kind of get creative on that side of the ball. But downgrade for sure, still going to start him.
Okay. Terry McLaurin still makes Mike's start list. Deontay Johnson is coming back after a bye this past week, and they're going to play the Eagles. Before I get to Mike's analysis of the matchup, Stefania, he was in concussion protocol last week and then cleared, but he's still banged up.
Well, he's had this foot thing that he's been managing for a few weeks, but he's played through it every time. So when you've seen these nice fantasy stat lines that he's put up, it's been while he's been navigating this foot/toe issue. So okay. I'm not particularly concerned about it.
Okay, good to know. So sounds like he'll be a go on Sunday, but he'll be a go against Darius Slay, Mike. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Eagles not playing so well. So far, I mean, they're leading their division, which isn't saying much right now. But Darius Slay, however, is paying off. That was a good acquisition by Howie Roseman. He's been good so far. Terry McLaurin is who he shadowed in week one. He had 3 catches for 31 yards against Slay on 27 routes in that game. Shadowed A.J. Green, 4 catches, 31 yards on 36 routes for the season on a 142 coverage snaps. Wide receivers against him, 18 catches, 168 yards, 0 touchdowns. So he's been effective so far. The only question here is, who do you shadow? I mean, I think we all agree, not in target so far, but you would, if you're aligning a depth chart of wide receivers for Pittsburgh, you probably put Juju Smith-Schuster first, right? Concur. But as we talked about yesterday, he lines up in the slot about 85% of the time. Darius Slay's not going to cover the slot very often. So Deontay Johnson, he's seeing a ton of targets. He's going to play on the perimeter 85% of the time. Those two should be head-to-head in this game. I think it'll be Slay against Johnson, not Smith-Schuster.
Still have inside your top
25. I have a question because I'm going to ask on behalf of the fantasy world, because like Allen Robinson, I have a lot of shares of Deontay Johnson. And this is one of my biggest start sit questions this week. You write the projections for us, Mike Clay.
That's true.
And so I see that he is projected for 13.6 points. Mm-hmm. If I thought he were to really be able to net me that, I'd start him despite the shadow coverage potentially. So... do you stand by that projection?
Wow.
I do.
Stefania is calling out the projection.
I just want to know because I believe in the project. This is a compliment, Mike. I take your projections quite seriously. But then when I hear you talk about the negative of the coverage, I'm like, well, that makes it sound like 3 receptions for 31 yards or whatever it was for Terry McLaurin. That's not what I want in my lineup.
There's definitely concerns. But here's the thing. So every week I will... adjust the projections kind of across the board. I go team by team, player by player, tweak everything based on kind of the targets they're seeing. I go on the team level as well. I adjust everything. Then I write receiver corner, and then I kind of tweak the target shares for that week for those receivers, like, you know, more targets to the tight end against this defense and away from the receivers. So that's a way of saying that I've already adjusted for that matchup, Stefania. So I
all right.
His projection might be 14.9 or something like that if he wasn't playing Slay. So I do adjust for that, but I still think there's enough volume there. And much like Terry McLaurin, the talent and the volume combined, I think they're good enough to fire up.
I'm trying to think like the most complicated thing I do during the week. Like, I can barely manage a grocery shopping list, and Mike does projections for every player around the NFL.
Seriously.
How does he do it? I don't
get
it.
Puts it in a fancy machine that spits out the numbers. Don't get, you know. That,
wow. Now, she said something nice to me. Yeah. Now wow. you have yes. to come at. And look, I was going to bring up the 49ers-Eagles game last week before, and I didn't. And
now you have.
Now I have.
How's that
now
feel,
you
Spanya?
Did.
You
how asked,
about them apples, huh?
You asked for it. I was going to be, not, like, I feel like I can't really talk smack because Eagles are playing so poorly. Right. So you I didn't want to, I'm like,
but here's the thing.
For it, but.
You did all the hard work on the front end. I'll grant you that. You created these algorithms. It's way over my pay grade. I do medical. I don't do math. But now that you've created the fancy thing, I've seen that machine you carry around. It's very heavy.
It
I'm
is.
Worried about your back as a PT. You carry that around. You that fires up all the numbers, right?
Sort of. I mean, there's a lot of inputs. That maybe we could do our a whole show on that process. But it is a lot of work. Look, I'm going to be honest.
I respect your work.
Most of it's on punters, of course, the punter projection. But anyway, so
Mike's computer breathes heavier than my dog. That thing is like a walking lawn.
It's right over there. I can
lawn
hear it.
It's like, you can hear it right now. Just like he had, it turns on. I was like. At all times. It's just true. Like, I don't know what is going on. My computer makes no noises. Mike's constantly makes noises.
Love it. Not a complaint, by the way. Love doing it. Love the process.
Got some horsepower. Yeah. All right, one more here. And we mentioned the matchup a little bit earlier in discussing the Titans and COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And Stefania, just go back to you, just to remind people. So the Titans did not practice yesterday, obviously, but they are obligated to submit an injury report, and A.J. Brown is still limited.
Well, this is actually interesting because A.J. Brown has not practiced since he was injured in week one, has a bone bruise he's been dealing with. And the plan, if the Titans facility had opened on Wednesday, was potentially to have him back out of practice for the first time. Mike Vrabel had said they would evaluate him and there was a chance that he could participate. Now, without them actually gathering and having practice, they projected him as limited. But it's important to note that is, you know, we don't worry about the practice estimations that often, but in this case, it really does matter because you want to know how his knee would have responded to an actual practice. And if he needed those couple of days, assuming the game was going to continue as scheduled on Sunday, I would really want to know how his knee coming off the bone bruise tolerated practice. With this being all virtual and pretend, it makes me a lot more skeptical that he could actually return if the game is played.
All right. Well, if the game is played, and if he does return, Mike, we also expect a less than favorable wide receiver cornerback matchup.
Yeah, and I have A.J. Brown on quite a few teams, especially Dynasty, so this is going to be tricky to navigate this one, assuming this game goes on and he is active. You know, he's going to see Tre'Davious White. And, you know, at the top of the show, he talked about all the players missing for this Titans offense, and it's just lines up for White to be on him on pretty much every play. Brown is lined up on the perimeter 89% of the time. White doesn't cover the slot much, which, you know, a lot of receivers will escape that, get inside like a Keenan Allen, for example, and not see White very much. It's not going to be the case for Brown. He's going to be on him on every play. And by the way, White has not, he's all due respect to the other teams, not really any tough assignments yet, right? He shadowed Preston Williams in week one, and he hasn't really, or earlier this season, he hasn't really been targeted very often this season, and part-time on Zay Jones last week, right? He just hasn't had any major assignments. This might be the first big one for him this season. Still hasn't been targeted very often this year. And by the way, the Bills, kind of mid-pack in terms of fantasy points allowed to receivers, right? But they face the fifth most targets. They're only allowing 7.7 yards per target. That's eighth lowest in the NFL, so still very effective. I'm definitely nervous about this one.
That's that's like sort of a sleeper story so far this year. The Bills have not been great defensively. Mm-hmm. They were great for the past 2 years. And I understand it's a high bar to meet, but they have been less dominant this year defensively. They've just been so much more dominant offensively that we haven't talked about it much.
Yeah, I think when you're throwing more and you're scoring at will, basically, it puts more pressure on your defense. Not,
totally.
You know, it extends the game longer, and that's why I pointed out that the efficiency is still good, but they face the fifth most targets because they're just inviting passing. And sure. And that's one of those battles we always have with is running, you know, What is the value of running in the NFL, right? There's right. always that conversation, and you're kind of seeing that with Seattle too, I think, right? They're extending games by being super pass heavy, and again, their defense is just the worst we've ever seen. Right. Maybe the worst Seahawks defense ever.
Very fair.
But then you have the Chiefs, who score at will, and their defense is great. So it's just one of them continual conversations and,
yeah, that's fair,
and discussions.
Well, and I'm mostly reflecting on what a lot of Bills fans have expressed to me on social media. It's just like, hey, you know, where's the defense that we saw the past couple of seasons that wouldn't need to, like, you know, up 28-3 against the Rams, it should be, you know, a 31-10 type final or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're letting teams come back for sure.
That being said, the Bills still really good defensively, and Tre'Davious White is too, and we'll see if the game is even played. How do you banish high rates on car insurance?
Boy, I have no idea.
You switch to Geico during Geico-ween. Bruh. I love making that sound, by the way. Oh, Let me do it one more time.
What was that?
Do it again.
Bruh. October is Geico's favorite time of year, and Geico has been working even harder to cast out high rates on car insurance and craft just the right coverage for you and your family. But here's the thing you may not know about Geico. They could also help you uncover more ways to save on the other things parked in your driveway, like your beloved motorcycle, boat, or even your home away from home. That's right, your RV. Geico could even help you save on homeowners and renters insurance, which also applies to chateaus. So visit geico.com today, and you'll see firsthand that switching your instant insurance coverage doesn't have to be scary. The only thing that will haunt your nightmares is seeing just how much you could have saved if you had switched sooner. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Happy Geico-ween, everybody.
You know, studies have shown that the average human attention span is 8 seconds. That means you're more easily distracted than you might think. And when you're driving, you'll be glad the Volvo XC60 SUV is thinking about safety, even when you're not. It's equipped with advanced safety features that can help prevent accidents before they happen, like the city safety system that uses cameras and radar to detect pedestrians and cyclists and can automatically apply the brakes if you don't. Because sometimes the moments that don't happen are the ones that matter the most. The XC60, for everyone's safety. Visit volvocars.com/US to learn more. All right, Field Yates.
Yep, it's time.
Geico social questions of the day, and let me tell you, we have a bunch of them to be able to get to, so I'm just going to start with it here.
Yeah, let's lickety-splits do it.
Let's do it. The first one comes from at the Cozy Hipster wants to know, is Le'Veon Bell a sneaky buy at the lowest possible price guy right now?
I'm going no. Here's the reason why. Like, what is best case scenario for him? Like, is there any way that a player in that offense becomes like a weekly 100 plus yard and touchdown threat? I can't imagine that happening.
Well, here's the thing. He said buy at the lowest possible price guy. So what does that mean? I mean, is that like you're giving up Alex Madison or like a bench? I mean,
yeah.
I think Bell going forward could be RB17 on volume. I mean, if remember, he was playing 100% of the snaps, as we talked about yesterday, before his injury. If he gets 16 carries and he could get 6 or 7 targets a game going forward, the efficiency might be poor, but...
Sure. It probably comes down to what your interpretation of like good value is and buy at the lowest possible price guy. Like, you're accurate, the Cozy Hipster, in the sense that like it's not going to cost much for you. I just don't know. Like, my own expectations are rather tepid going forward. I think RB17 to RB25 is like a reasonable expectation.
I agree, and that's how you value him, and that's how you consider what you would your compensation for him. So if you're really shaky at running back and you need a flyer on a guy like that, it's worth it.
Fair enough.
Okay, next one comes from at @al_main. Would you trade Mike Evans for Allen Robinson?
It's really good. We talked about both these guys. We'll see him tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with no.
I'm leaning Robinson.
You're leaning towards Robinson.
One. Yeah. I'm a little nervous on Evans based on what I laid out earlier. I don't know if you get all into that again, but obviously the volume is down from past years. Also, Allen Robinson, really good.
And he's incredible.
And you never have to worry about volume with him. He has 8 or more targets in 10 straight games. He's averaging 0.3 targets per game this season already. So, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. He's even in a shaky offensive situation, he just continues to produce. So I give him a tiny edge going forward.
Here's my case for keeping Mike Evans. They play tonight, and whether he plays tonight, they still have 10 days after that for him to get right going into week 6. You mentioned how they're not going to play any cold weather games, so it's not like conditions are really going to be much of a factor for him other than the occasional rainstorm. It's still Tom Brady. It's still Mike Evans. When Chris Godwin gets healthy, and that could happen as soon as next week, I would think that there's less pressure on Mike Evans. I think I just, maybe I'm just, if there's one of these two players who has a chance to wind up with, I'm not talking about including the first 4 weeks, but an additional 10 touchdowns from here going forward, feels to me like that's Mike Evans, which is why I break the tie.
Okay. Or I mean, I think it's close. It's I don't close, have any yeah. major, I don't think you're insane if you hold tight on Mike Evans.
Does this strike you as a trade for the sake of trading trade right there?
I think so.
Yeah. Those are the questions that I get the most that I hear from people. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of a perfect, like, what should I trace Russell Wilson for Josh Allen? I'm like, the number one for number two quarterback.
Who's your favorite? Who do you like to root for? Are you a Bills fan or see it? Just pick that one. You know?
Yeah, of course. Yep. All right, move forward.
Okay, next one comes from at Fuller Jeffrey. Is Robbie Anderson a set it and forget it for the time being?
I think so, yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, good. He's still like, and again, we're going to do the CSS DSS pod later and talk about him more because just continually disrespected when people are setting their lineups and daily fantasy and pricing and usage and fantasy. And just a couple nuggets on him because I wrote about him in the Fantasy 32 this week. Seventh at wide receiver in targets, fourth in reception, sixth in receiving yards, ninth in fantasy points, averaging almost nine targets per game. That's a career high. Leads the Panthers with a 25% target share. That's big time. That's wide receiver one usage. They're throwing the ball a lot with Carolina. And honestly, a lot of their touchdowns have been rushing, and that should kind of even out as we go forward. That applies to him and DJ Moore. So no question right now. I mean, he's a borderline wide receiver one right now. I mean, that's how he's being used and how he's producing.
Who did he used to play for?
Oh, good point. Another one to add to the list.
The Adam Another Gase one. List, man. That's the Adam tough. Gase list.
That's tough.
A lot of guys.
Unbelievable.
Ryan Tannehill to Robbie Anderson to... Hey, did you guys see Kalen Ballage working out for the Chargers, by the way?
I did. I thought he might go down. I think you mentioned the Buccaneers maybe or something. Like, and then sure enough, he's working out for somebody else.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, he's gonna...
We considered an emergency podcast last night. We decided to hold off. We'll have more on that.
You know what's
Friday,
funny about that, though, is I thought this was the best Ballage has ever played. Now, obviously, historically, I've been really down on him. It's just not good college efficiency, and obviously... flamed out in Miami. You know, he worked him in a little bit into the Jets offense. He was catching some passes, doing a little bit of damage for them, and they cut him loose a couple days later. They were finally getting something out of him, so whatever.
Okay.
Jeremy Langford versus Kalen Ballage. Who would you rather?
Stop it.
Langford.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Wow.
That's okay. Tough.
Neither. Can I?
Yeah.
All right, we got a couple more here. Scott Herbert wants to know, what's your philosophy on using your waiver priority on a streaming defense? And I think this is a really great question because if you have a waiver priority, do you usually wait for that waiver segment to end so you're not using your number two waiver pick on a defense and then pick up a defense?
Yeah, that's typically my strategy. I mean, it's pretty rare to find a defense that has a prolonged favorable stretch that's available.
Sure.
So I would say, generally speaking, I don't use my priority on a defense.
I never use like all of my fab. You know, I'll use a decent chunk of it during the season. So it depends on the week and what's out there. You know, so if there's a defense with a great matchup and I'm like, oh, I really want, you know, I don't know, Chicago's at home against the Jets this week and they're on waivers, right? Maybe they had a tough matchup the week before. I'll throw $3, you know, out of my 100 at them and pick them up for that week because it's a weekly game, as we say often. So, you know, I'm fine with that. But if there's nothing that really jumps out, yeah, I'll usually just let it go. And honestly, if there's a lot of the similar defenses, I'll drop the defense and kicker, my kicker for that week, and just pick up other players like insurance running backs or high upside receivers and make my decision Sunday morning on who to cut. Or sometimes you can throw a guy in IR and you don't even have to drop someone else and pick up your defense or kicker. So there's a lot of ways to attack it.
So another reason to make sure that you're using the FAB system rather than a waiver system. I really love being able to use FAB rather than waivers.
Yeah, no doubt. I should have pointed that out. Yeah, I'm not going to, if I have top waiver priority, it's not going to a defense.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Next question comes from Alejandro in Miami Lakes, Florida, wants to know, will Preston Williams bounce back sometime the rest of the season?
All right. So again, we've got to interpret what bounce back means, right? Bounce back to the point that he's in your lineup weekly.
I think that's probably a question, right? Can you use him as a flex or wide receiver three?
He's out of flex consideration at this point.
Right now, yeah, he's not getting the volume.
Possible he could become a flex consideration, but I'm not banking on it necessarily. Yeah. Like Fitzpatrick has been relatively effective so far. 3 or 4 games with 20 plus points, and you haven't been able to use Preston Williams.
Yeah, and who knows what Tua's going to be in there soon. I think we all agree on that.
When you have to announce that Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting this week, it means Tua's coming.
And we don't know. Maybe he loves Preston Williams and starts force feeding him the ball. I have Williams. I liked him a lot in the pre-draft process. I apologize because definitely liked him, have him a lot. I'm going to leave him on my bench for now because I think the answer is yes. Remember, he tore his ACL around midseason last year. Sometimes it takes a year or so for guys to come around. So, you know, we're a month in the season. Maybe he starts to get rolling here. He is playing a lot. The targets aren't there, but all he needs is a few more balls to go his way and he could pay off. So, yeah, I think so.
And that's something that Stefania, I know if you want to jump in here, that's something that you said about Preston Williams when we were all excited about him this offseason is being able to come back off of that ACL injury. Is this sort of kind of what it is that you had expected? I don't want to say expected, but what kind of feels like par for the course with a player returning from an ACL like that, Stefania?
Yeah, I think it's par for the course, especially, you know, he was great until he got hurt last year. I mean, he was phenomenal, but you expect the workload to be a little bit less and you expected Miami to ease him in gradually, especially given the nature of this particular season where you came into the preseason without the usual training camp and practices and he didn't get any game action until week one. So really him being able to step back into the lineup was his first time on the field since tearing his ACL. That's not how you like to do it. So just from the health standpoint, I would expect him to get more comfortable and more integrated as the game goes on, but that doesn't necessarily, you know, affect the strategy, especially if things were humming for them without him. But things really may change with Tua. I think that'll be interesting to watch.
And they've also had a very tough schedule too so far, which is another fact.
Also, what do you know? Stefania nails another call.
I know, right?
Death, taxes, and Stefania nailing her calls.
Oh, all right. We don't get them all.
We got two more here. Charles Flippin from Los Angeles, California wants to know, is it possible that DeAndre Swift eventually gets a larger role in this Lions offense?
Why don't you handle that one?
Yeah, Daniel. What
I was going to say,
opinion?
That was Daniel Dopp wrote that in
I
under
didn't.
A pseudonym.
I swear I didn't.
That was...
I do not understand. This is
the
just
burner
me.
Of Daniel Dopp. That's a question.
I do not understand what it is that we are running Adrian Peterson out there for. And Adrian Peterson is a fine player. He belongs on an NFL roster. He can absolutely help an NFL team. The Detroit Lions are not a team that should be out there running him 15 to 20 times a game or having him out there for what he, like, we have these young kids on a team that is not going somewhere this season that I would love to see out on the field. So, yeah.
Well, all right. So you brought up the fact that the team is not going anywhere this season.
I did say that. I am pessimistic.
Also no. You also need to realize, I think you do realize that this is a regime that is coaching for their livelihood, right?
Yes.
I mean, the owner said it last December. I don't want to misspeak, but the sentiment, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel, was basically, we expect to make the playoffs next year or else there could be changes. If Adrian Peterson is doing the things that the coaching staff evaluates as the best chance to win and they need to win, I expect Adrian Peterson to keep his role going forward. They're on a bye this week, and the schedule sets up pretty well after this. The next handful or so of games are, at least in my estimation, relatively winnable for Detroit if you look at the schedule week by week. I have said this frequently on the show, and I think it's worth repeating. The position that probably has the biggest disparity in terms of what we evaluate versus what coaches evaluate as it pertains to fantasy football is running back. There are so many things that coaches value that we, not that we don't value, but we don't value them as much as they do, right?
Sure.
Like, I'm less concerned about pass protection than coaches are, right? I'm less concerned about things like, you know, constantly hitting the right hole. I'm more concerned about the fact that there are some guys that even when they hit the wrong hole can bounce it outside and take it 35 yards for a long run. It seems like the little things are the things that Adrian Peterson has and will continue to do well. On
100%.
Top of the fact that he is durable and built different, it can handle 15 to 20 carries a game and has a relationship with Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator, etc. So if it hasn't happened yet, I think there's a chance because maybe things do go from bad to worse. But, you know, if this team is either getting better or coaching for their livelihood all season, then it may be that Adrian Peterson continues to have this role.
I think when they come out of the bye, if he's not getting 13 to 15 touches, like at this point, I think that's problematic. And I hear what you're saying, but Yeah, I mean, he's looked good. He had that drop in week one. Otherwise, I mean, he's been effective. Yep. And he's dynamic, too, right? He can do a lot in the passing game. That's
35th pick.
Adrian Peterson has really never been. Yeah. Right, exactly. And I've preached this all offseason with these second day two and three running backs. They don't really do much in fantasy historically. And that concept was laughed at. We've seen that so far this season. But again, as the rookie year goes on, you expect more and more and more. I think they'd be crazy not to work him in more. And I think they will. I think he will play more.
I really hope that they do. And I say this in all love because Adrian Peterson is a phenomenal player, obviously like Hall of Famer, everything. But when you watch DeAndre Swift run the football and then you see Adrian Peterson run a play after him, Adrian Peterson is like the embodiment of like an 88 speed rating in Madden. Like he's just not, he doesn't have like that burst or any of that he used to have. And it's like, you can see it out there. But I feel the same way about Frank Gore. Like, I don't know why they're not using somebody else. Like Frank Gore could absolutely help an NFL franchise. He's doing nothing for the Jets. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Next question and last question we have here. Ryan Walters from Lexington, Kentucky wants to know, what's your all-time favorite Halloween or scary movie as we're getting ready for our big Halloween push here?
Ooh, Halloween. Well, I'll be honest. This will give my age away for sure, but the Saw series was right. I mean, that was fantastic. And actually, I just watched the last one. They brought it back again and made another one. So I'm going to go with that. That was right in my wheelhouse. Like them all. I own them all. So I'm going to go with that.
You got one, Daniel?
I think mine is probably, and it's probably my favorite, probably The Nightmare Before Christmas, even though I know it's like a Christmas movie, but it's also like it's a Halloween movie to me.
Right.
So,
I'm trying to think. I don't have a...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Halloween. That's it. That's the answer. Halloween. I mean, one of the most incredible series ever. But as far as like the movie that scared me the most, especially my teenage years, was... I think it's called There's a Stranger in the House, or it's the one about with the phone call.
Oh, yes.
Have you checked the children? Okay.
Yeah, pretty big fit.
Scariest movie for any girl who was babysitter in her teenage years.
I saw this one movie. It was pretty scary. Crocodile Dundee in L.A. it was rather frightening.
You win. Yeah. Okay. Was it the writing that was scary? Or was
That's what it was. All right, we got to go. We got a show again on Friday to preview everything that you will need to know leading into Week 5 and hopefully with some updates on the possible games being played between the Titans and the Bills and the Patriots and the Broncos. Until then, for Mike and Daniel and Stefania, I'm Field. We'll see you guys on Friday. Peace out. See you in the 06.